This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah, نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلوات ربه وسلامه عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن دعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. الحمد لله, we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for sparing us for the whole 15 days of the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala care for us and look after us and protect us. Give us the strength, inshallah, to see through the month of Ramadan until the end, inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give that we are happy and satisfied with what He has decreed for us, and we say alhamdulillah. Today, inshallah, I want to, it is a continuation, in fact, of Friday's khutbah, but a completely different subject. I mentioned on Friday that I will add on to the hadith which I quoted on Friday about the last man to enter Jannah. But that discussion, inshallah, I would like to keep and maybe attach it to the Eid lecture which I want to also give, which will also deal with the whole question of Allahu Akbar and Takbir. But today, inshallah, I've titled my talk "The Fantastic Reward for the Person Who Puts His Total Trust in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala." And in this regard, I want to quote you a hadith of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But first of all, the subject matter of this hadith is, as you can hear from the title, it deals with tawakkul. It deals with putting your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To quote two short verses from the Quran to start off, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ali Imran, verse 159, Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and when you have planned, then put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we can't just sit back and relax and say, well, I put all my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will give me food, Allah will give me everything. No. Allah is musabbibul asbab. Allah is the one who causes all the things to happen. So you have to be proactive in asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and making an effort in order for you to be able to be entitled to your share of this dunya. You can't just sit back and do nothing. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala quote another verse, so tawakkaltu ala Allah fa'idha azamta fatawakkal ala Allah. Make your plans, plan your strategy, everything, and then you say, now I've done my homework, now I put my trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the universe. And Allah says in Surah At-Talaq, which is the 65th surah, surah number 65, verse number 3, Allah says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدَرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and he who puts his trust in Allah, فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mashallah, is enough for him in everything. Allah is enough for him in his health, in his wealth, in his akhirah, in his whatever is required. Allah is enough for him. Subhanallah. Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the universe. Inna Allah balighu amri. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills all his goals. Whatever he sets out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills everything. And Allah keeps all his promises. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allah has appointed for everything its full share. Whatever share has been allocated to you, you will get that share. Whether that share is in the dunya or in the akhirah. Today we speak about your share in the akhirah and how you will be able to acquire that share. It's a gold share. It's a gold share, my dear brothers and sisters. So, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says, and this hadith narrated by Bukhari in Kitab At-Tib, the Kitab on Medicine, which is the 67th Kitab, in chapter number 42, hadith number 5752. It's hadith in Bukhari. The other Imam Muslim also narrates similar hadith. We take the hadith from Bukhari and we will add, inshallah, to fill up whatever needs to be filled. Abdullah ibn Abbas says, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day said to the Sahaba, "Uridat alayya al-umam." I was shown, says the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, all the nations of the world. All the nations of the world. Where? In the Akhirah. And some say the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam dreamt this, which means it was a revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the dreams of all the prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends them revelation in the form of dreams as well. Some others say that the Prophet ﷺ saw this on the night of Mi'raj, on the night of the journey through the seven heavens to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Other writers say other contexts for this hadith. But what is the hadith? The hadith says, "Uridat alayya al-umam." All the nations were displayed in front of me. I saw all the nations of the world. فَجَعَلَ يَمُرُّ النَّبِيُّ وَمَعَهُ الرَّجُلُ. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, I saw a Nabi with only one follower. SubhanAllah. Can you imagine? A Nabi whom Allah Subhanahu wa ta'ala sent with revelation, with miracles, with so many things, hujjah, proof of his prophethood, proof of the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many people believed in him? Only one person believed in him. The Nabi sallallahu said, "Faja'ala yamurru an-nabiyya ar-rajulan." Then I saw a prophet with only two followers, subhanallah. Then I saw a prophet birrahat. I saw a prophet with between 3 and 9 followers, less than 10 followers. And then I saw a prophet, laysa ma'ahu ahad. Then I saw a prophet with no followers at all, subhanallah. How many of them weren't there? Prophets that were sent with revelation, with convincing proof of Allah's existence, with miracles. Some were sent with books, subhanallah. And yet, some of them had nobody, some of them had less than 10. Some of them had only 2, some of them had only 1. So what does it tell us? It tells us that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, laysa alaykum, laysa alayka hudahum. Allah says to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, their guidance is not upon you. It is not your duty. I haven't sent you to guide. I have sent you to give them all the information. They have to decide for themselves and I give guidance. Inna hudallahi huwal huda. Allah says, guidance is guidance which comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What guidance is that? That is the guidance to believe in the true one Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe in Tawheed. That guidance. That comes directly. That is the gift Allah gives to whoever he so wishes. And that's a gift that he takes away from whosoever he wishes. So this mustn't make us, this actually encourages the da'i, the caller to Allah. If you consider yourself sister or brother as one who doesn't stint in calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you should take heart from this, that Nabis will come on day of Qiyamah with nobody having taken to their message. Nobody would have accepted the message. Today we feel down and full of disdain. We say, yeah, we preach every day and we talk so much and we try and speak to my sister and my brother and my neighbor and my wife and my children. Nabi Nuh, he was a Nabi, one of the great prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did his son say to him when he said, Allah said, I must talk to you. The world is going to be destroyed by water. Please get on the ark and you'll be saved. What did he say to his father? Sa'awi ila jabalin ya'asimini minalma. Ya'asimuni minalma. Don't worry, daddy, man. Don't worry. It's fine. You go your way, I go my way. I will go on top of the mountain and there the water won't reach me. SubhanAllah. Didn't listen. So we must take heart from this. So you for a da'i, sister or brother. No, I don't mean an official da'i that goes out and goes. No, anybody. You speak to your family. You speak to people about the deen, about the haqq, about the Quran, about the sunnah. And they turn away from you. They won't accept you. Take heart that there were prophets also. And they said that Nabi Nuh alayhi salam, after preaching for 1,000 years, how many people followed him? 80. 80 people was on the ark with him. The rest were animals. SubhanAllah. So we should take heart from this and we should continue. We should continue with the da'wah. Continue with the da'wahs with sincerity. Continue with the da'wah with knowledge. And don't be afraid to speak the truth. Because the truth will ultimately triumph. Ultimately. It may take a man 50 years to realize what you said to him one day was the absolute truth. And if he doesn't realize it on this dunya, he will come to know of it on the day of Qiyamah when Allah will expose it to the whole of humanity. So, the Prophet ﷺ speaks to the Sahaba and he says, this is the situation. So the Nabi ﷺ is standing there and he, what are his thoughts? What do you think were the Nabi ﷺ's thoughts when he saw all these people, so few people? Akhira is such a big place. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "Wara'ait," and I saw sawadan kathiran sadd al-ufuq. He said, then I looked and I saw a large group of people. Quite a large group of people. They were filling the horizon. So many were them. The horizon was filled with these people. Farajotu antakuna ummati. And I thought to myself, oh, I wish, inshallah, that those people there in the horizon, that filled the horizon, that they are my ummah. Faqila. And then it was said to the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hada Musa wa qawbuhu. Whoever was with him said to him, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that group of people, that is the followers of Musa alayhi as-salatu wasalam. That is the Bani Israel. A lot of good Bani Israel, mashallah. Before they changed the Bible and changed the Torah. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, thoughts came again, what about my ummah? Where's my ummah? And then he looked, and he saw again sawadan kathiran sadd al-ufuq. Again he saw large groups of people filling the horizon. Faqila li, Nabi sallallahu said, and it was said to me, undur hakada hakada, look over there Muhammad sallallahu, look over there, look everywhere in the horizon. Faraitu sawadan kathiran sadd al-ufuq. The Nabi ﷺ said, everywhere he looked in the horizon, there were crowds and crowds and crowds of people. Faqila, and the Prophet ﷺ said, and it was said to me then, Ha'ulai ummatuk, O Muhammad ﷺ, that is your ummah. That is your ummah. SubhanAllah. All those people filling the horizon, that is your ummah. So the Nabi ﷺ immediately knew that his ummah will be the biggest ummah on the day of judgment and will be the biggest ummah to enter Jannah. And ummah will be the first ummah to enter Jannah. And he will be the first prophet to enter Jannah. So all these honors, titles, accolades, Allah subhanahu has given to Muhammad sallallahu and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah. Should bring a smile to every Muslim's face, inshallah. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the Sahaba, "Wa ma'a ha'ula'i 70,000 yadkhuluna al-jannata bighayri hisab." Nabi Sallallahu said, the angel said to him, whoever was with him said to him, oh Muhammad Sallallahu, with all these people that you see in the horizon, 70,000 of them will enter paradise بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ, without any accountability. Allah won't ask them one question. They will rise from their graves in majesty. They will arise from the grave smiling. And angels will come and fetch them. And they will be transported on vehicles that we cannot imagine. And where will they be taken? Not to the plain of Qiyamah. No, they will be taken with a special way straight into Jannah. They will pass, all the people will be standing there waiting for their turn, for their name to be called, so they could be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-Jabbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will not endure that. They will not endure standing in the sun until the sun is a span from their heads and their brains boil. They will not be standing naked in front of everybody. They will not see the Jahannam. SubhanAllah. Everybody will see the Jahannam. SubhanAllah. So the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says to the Sahaba, he stopped there. Nabi didn't speak, say any further. He just said, 70,000 of my ummah, oh my companions, is part of that jama'ah of the Muslimin, will enter paradise. And with them, there is 70,000 will go straight to Jannah. Special ticket, VIP. Nabi left, went into his house, and while he went into his house, Sahaba started speaking amongst themselves. They were discussing, asking each other, who do you think the Prophet was referring to when he spoke about the 70,000 people? Who do you think are those 70,000 people? Someone said, فَأَمَّا نَحْنُ فَأُولِدَّ فِي الشِّرْكِ. We, they were the muhajirun, they said, older people, they said, we were born in shirk, into shirk. وَلَكِنَّ آمَنَّ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِ. But we came, when the Prophet ﷺ came, we came to know about Tawheed and we believed in Allah and His Messenger. وَلَكِنْ هَؤُلَاهُمْ أَبْنَاؤُنَا. But these are our children. فَبَلَغَ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. So maybe they will be the people who enter Jannah, because they never made any shirk. Someone else says, maybe it will be the Muhajirun, those people who made Hijrah with the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who immigrated from Makkah to Medina under very difficult circumstances. Maybe they will be the people who will be make up the 70,000. Some others said, maybe those who fought in the Battle of Badr, Battle of Uhud, Battle of the Khandaq, Battle of all the battles. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam came out from his house again, having heard the commotion and the people talking and talking and talking, and he said, what are you talking about? I mean, what is the conversation? He said, Ya Rasulullah, we would like to know who are these 70,000 people who will enter Jannah of the ummah, of your ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, alayhi salatu salam, said the following words to them. هم الذين لا يتطيرون ولا يكتهون ولا يسترقون وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. But let me just take one step back. And tell you what happened after he was told that only 70,000 of his ummah will go to Jannah without any accountability. What was he thinking about? He was thinking about his ummah. Ya Allah, only 70,000, he thought to himself. Well, 70,000, one can understand, it's a few people. A small little village somewhere. Or Muslims, maybe. Small little village, 70,000 people. Not a lot of people. And he said, Nabi Sallallahu tells the Sahaba, he says to them, and I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fastazid, I asked Allah to increase for me the number of my ummah who will go to Jannah without being questioned. Fastazid, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, fazadani, Prophet Sallallahu said, and Allah increased for me. Ma'a kulli alfi, alfin sab'een alf. Look what was the Prophet thinking about. He could have said, alhamdulillah, 70,000. A lot. And so this reminds me of an incident where the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was sitting in the Masjid al-Nabawi with a Sahaba. And while he was talking to him, he burst out crying. And the Sahaba said, Ya Rasulullah, ma yukika, Ya Rasulullah. They were worried. And the Prophet suddenly crying. She asked him, ma yukika, Ya Rasulullah, what is making you cry? And he said, "An ashtaqu ila ikhwati." I am longing. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, "I am longing for my brothers." So they were dumbfounded. Sahaba were dumbfounded. They said, "Ya Rasulullah, your brothers, but we are your brothers. Who are you talking about? We're all here with you. We fight with you. We jihad with you. We made hijrah with you. Who are these brothers that you're talking about?" Nabi Sallallahu said, "Bal antum ashabi." Nabi said, "On the contrary, you are my companions." So they were even more confused. So Ya Rasulullah, who are your brothers? He said, "Alladhina ya'tuna min ba'dikum yu'minuna bi walam yaruni." Subhanallah. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. Look at the compassion. Look at the love of this man, of people that they hadn't even seen. He said, "My brothers are those who will come after you. Ya'tuna min ba'dikum. Those are the Muslims who will come after you when you will all be gone. Yu'minuna bi. They will believe in me and my message. Walam yaruni, and they would not have seen me. You all see me. I'm the physical proof to you that I am the messenger of Allah. I live amongst you. You see the revelation come to me. You write it down when I recite it to you. You are my companions, chosen by Allah to accompany me through my life. But those are my brothers. And I long for them. I long to see them." So this was the compassion the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had for us. 14 centuries ago, he cried for us. He missed us. He wanted to see us. And he's so looking forward to meet us at the Houd, at the pond. There he will meet all his ummah. And who will those people be? Will he meet? He said, "Ma ana alayhi wa ashabi." All those people, all my brothers will be those who was upon my sunnah and the sunnah of my khulafa ur-rashidin. Daraktu fikum ma in tamassaktum bihima kitab Allahi wa sunnati. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Lan tadillu abada." I've left for you two things. My sunnah, the Quran, and my sunnah. If you follow the Quran and my sunnah, لَن تَضِلُّوا أَبَدًا, you will never go astray. Never go astray. Remember this message from Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So it is your imperative to find out, what did Nabi mean by my sunnah? What did he mean by the sunnah of my khulafa? Of my khulafa al-Rashidin? What is that? If it is so important for him to recognize me as a sister or a Muslim brother on the day of Qiyamah, I need now to know that. I need to find out what that means. I need to find out what that meant to the Sahaba, how they looked at that, how they practiced that. And in my small way, in my humble way, I must then emulate those who will all go to paradise. May Allah make us of those, inshallah. So now the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam got how many? 70,000 for every 1,000. So that makes it 4,900,000. So 4,900,000, inshallah, may Allah make us all of those 4,900,000 who will be VIPs on the day of Qiyamah. We will not stand in the queue, no. We will go in by a special door. And there are two ways to do that. We are told that those who fast in the month of Ramadan, they will go through a special door. Riyan. We're also told by the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that the person who says after taking wudu, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. What about him? Person who says the shahada after taking wudu, what about him? Prophet said, the Jannah's got 8 doors. He will be able to choose to enter the Jannah through any of the 8 doors. Allah requires so little of us. So little. And you see, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Choose which door you want to go through. Subhanallah. And then the next part of the hadith, I can only translate for you. I cannot explain it to you. And this part of the hadith is in Imam Tirmidhi, in the Sunan of Imam Tirmidhi, and in the Mu'jam of Tabrani. After Allah increased for him, the Prophet ﷺ said, وَثَلَاثَ حَثَيَاتٍ مِنْ حَثَيَاتِ رَبِّي عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, and 3 handfuls of the handfuls of my Lord, the most glorious, the most high. حَثَيَات. Handful, scoops. Can't describe. We don't know what it means. All I can say to you, it means something beautiful. It means something precious. So this is also added to the 4,900,000 people who will enter paradise. I conclude that this love for this ummah is because of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is our duty to do? What must we do? We must follow him in whatever he did. And we must renounce in our deen whatever he did not do. And follow only that which he did. And don't be afraid to ask questions if you're not sure of what you're doing. You must ask questions. And if you ask the question of an alim, you should also ask him for his proof. Because Allah asks for proof. Allah says to the Quraysh, when they refuse to believe, Allah says, bring your proof, burhanakum. Bring your burhan, in kuntum sadiqeen. You say, you're telling the truth, then bring your proof. My proof is the Quran and Sunnah. Bring your proof. So Allah's Father, and this deen, my dear brothers and sisters, is based on evidence. Everything must have evidence. If there's no evidence from the Quran and Sunnah, not part of my deen. When Umar ibn al-Khattab, radiallahu ta'ala, when he heard this, 3 scoops, 3 handsful of my Lord, Azza wa Jal, he said, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Subhanallah. He was so taken up by this. He said, well, there's a big chance, inshallah, for many more Muslims to enter Jannah without hisab. And Qais, one of the people who narrates the hadith, he said, he took hold of the cloak of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. When he heard this hadith, he took him and he shook him and he said to him, أسمعت هذا من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ Did you hear this? Are you sure you heard this from the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم himself? Abu Sa'id al-Khudri says, سمعته ووعاه قلبي. سمعته ووعاه قلبي. I heard it directly from the Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم. And my heart fully understands what it is. My heart, when I heard it, my heart fully understood what it meant. Maybe I couldn't explain this hathayat, three scoops, but my heart understood. Subhanallah. So that was the Sahaba. Even their hearts directly understood the message of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So for understanding of the deen, we must go to the Sahaba alayhim as-salatu wassalam. So the Nabi, what did the Nabi say to them? When they ask, who are the people that are going to Jannah without being questioned? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هُمُ الَّذِينَ لَا يَتَطَيَّرُونَ وَلَا يَكْتَهُونَ وَلَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ وَعَلَى اللَّهِ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Nabi said to the Sahaba, the people who will go to Jannah on the day of Qiyamah with on a special ticket as VIPs, can you imagine you're there at Qiyamah and there are millions of people. And you're one of the chosen ones and you walk, you go through the VIP door. What a smile you'd have on your face. And what envy people will look at you with such envy, subhanAllah. And all you have to do is, if you do this, if you just listen to these four things which the Prophet ﷺ said. Prophet ﷺ said, those are the people, لا يتطيرون. I would listen very carefully to what the Prophet said. These people will go straight to Jannah. There's nothing in here about Salah or Zakah or Hajj or 10 Hajj or 3 Hajj or 5 Umrahs or 10 Umrahs or 10 million Zakah or 50,000 Zakah or 100 masjids you built. Nothing of that is in here. Prophet ﷺ said, all about iman, imanun khalis, sincere belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Prophet said, the first category of those who, these are the four requirements. First, those people did not believe in evil omens. For example, people believe in evil omens. They say, well, I dreamt, and it was a bad dream, so that's an evil omen. Something is going to happen to me. Or I saw a black cat in the road, that's an evil omen. Or I've got a certain illness, and that's an evil omen. It's an evil indication. As a slechte alama, it's an omen. It's a bad sign. And then what does the person do? He goes to some person and says to the person, you know, this is what happened. Can you interpret it for me? Can you give me something for it? And the person would write something on a piece of paper called azimat and tie it up in a piece of aluminium cloth and a piece of cloth, and you would carry it and you would believe that that will keep the evil omens from you. Similarly, people stick things behind their doors in their homes. And you look at it and think, well, what is that for? No, to keep away the evil omens. They believe in evil omens. So those who believe in evil omens, will not go to Jannah without being questioned. They will go. They have to go through the normal channels. They will have to answer for believing in evil omens. So in Islam, we don't believe in evil. Why not? Because we believe that everything comes from who? From Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا. Allah says in the Quran, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell the Muslims, nothing will befall them except that which has been written for them before they were born. And they will never be able to avoid it if it has to come to them, and they'll never get it if it's not meant for them. Secondly, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam describes the people who will go to Jannah without hisab. وَلَا يَكْتَهُونَ. And they are those people who do not cauterize them. Time of the Prophet ﷺ, people used to, if they had a wound, they would burn it with metal, with burning metal. to close the vein, whatever it may be, where the blood was running. Prophet ﷺ said, so much pain, to endure so much pain, no. Prophet ﷺ said, also shows lack of faith. And then the Nabi ﷺ said, وَلَا يَسْتَرْقُونَ. And they are those people who did not ask other people to make ruqya for them. Now what is ruqya? Ruqya is part of the sunnah of Islam. Nabi Sallam taught us to make ruqya. We read Qul A'udhu bin Nas, the Mu'udhatayn, Qul A'udhu bin Nas, Qul A'udhu bil Falaq, Ayatul Kurs. Nabi Sallam said, if you have a pain, put your hand there, say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika bi'izzatika wa qudratika min shari ma ajidu wa uhadir. Pain will go away. Or just put your hand on the place where is the pain is and say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. That's all. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, your pain will go away. So what does it mean, those people who did, if you ask others, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never asked anybody for ruqya. When he was poisoned by the Jewish lady who gave him something to eat, he didn't ask anybody to make to read for him or recite for him. No. He waited for Jibreel until Jibreel came. And Jibreel told him what to say. And when he was busy dying, Sayyidina Aisha tells us in the hadith, just before this hadith of Bukhari, in fact, that is 40, that this hadith I'm going to relate now is 41. The long one I'm relating now is 42. Aisha says, أَنِ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ كَانَ يَنْفُذُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ فِي مَرَضِي الَّذِي قُبِلَ فِيهِ بِالْمَعُوِذَاتِ. Aisha said, In the death illness of the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he himself used to read Kul A'udhu Rabbin Nas, Kul A'udhu Bir Falaq, and Kul A'udhu Bir Rabbin Nas. And used to rub and blow over his body when he read Kul A'udhu Bir Rabbin Falaq and Kul A'udhu Rabbin Nas. Falamma thakula kuntu ana anfudu alay bihin. And when he became heavy, he became very sick. I used to read and blow over him, فَمْسَحْ بِيَدِ نَفْسِي, and I used to take his hand and rub over his body because of the barakah of his hand. SubhanAllah. So it doesn't mean that you mustn't use, yes, on yourself you must use ruqya, read, rub over you, make dua for you. But you, why should you not ask? Because if you do it for yourself, it means that you are making a connection directly when you're saying, Allah, I only need your shifa. I only need your cure. I don't want anything to come in between your cure and my illness or my pain. But if somebody asks you to do ruqya, you should actually do it before he asks. So if you visit a sick person, read for him. Kulabi nas, kulabi falak. Read for him the Fatiha. Blow over him before he asks you. Don't put him in that situation where he has to ask you. No. So, as I read the hadith, it's halal, not haram. But these are such finely tuned, people with such finely tuned iman, that they were scared of moving away from the qibla of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything. Not only in salah. Their focus was on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Absolutely. They didn't turn to anybody. Although there are many people who would come to them and say, join my group. Some people say that on the Qiyamah, they will have special facilities to ask Allah to forgive you and so forth and so on. Doesn't exist. The only person who will be able to intercede for us will be Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know of. On the Qiyamah, Allah may choose others. But now that we know, we know only of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, the lesson we learned today is a lesson of tawakkul. Rabbul Alameen, the Lord of the Universe, the last verse of the verses of the Quran about Ramadan, what is the last verse? وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Sahaba asked the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, said, Ya Rasulullah, how must we speak to Allah? Can we call him loud? Or can we whisper to him? How must we speak to him? So Allah revealed to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, immediately Allah revealed this verse. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي. When my servant asks you, O Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, about me, like they ask now, how must they speak to me? Loud, soft, whisper, move their lips, speak in their heart. Allah hears the voice of the heart also. Allah hears the voice of the lips. He tells the Prophet, when my servant asks you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Straightforward, just tell them one thing. I am near to them. I am near to them. Near to them in the jugular vein. I know what they think. I know what they feel. I know what they want. I do everything about them. أُجِيبُ الدَّعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِ. I will answer his prayer if he calls for me. If he calls to me, not via somebody else, no, he calls to me. Allah says, أُدَعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Allah says, call me, I will answer you. The moment you turn away from the qibla of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're out of the rahmah. You have to make tawbah and come back to the road that Allah has given to us, which we ask Allah every day to keep us on, and that is الصراط المستقيم, the straight path. يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر. Allah says, I've chosen the easy path for you. I'm not going to choose, I didn't choose a difficult path for you. Why must you make it difficult upon yourselves? Why? Sahaba didn't do it. The Prophet didn't put any burden on us. But we put burdens upon ourselves. So, there's just one correction I want to make. There was hadith I quoted some time ago. I can't remember which lecture it was. And I said this was hadith Qudsi. And the hadith goes like this. Well, it's not a hadith, in fact. مَا وَسِعَنِي أَرْضِ وَلَا سَمَائِي وَلَكِنْ وَسِعَنِي قَلْبُ عَبْدِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. The hadith says that the heavens and the earth cannot contain me, but the heart of a believer can contain me. I've done some more research on this, and I've discovered that this is in fact not a hadith from the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. It's not a hadith. So we shouldn't quote it, and we should not rely on it, and we shouldn't take it as part of hadith Qudsi. Because there is no solid link that links it to the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And we must be honest, when we quote something and we can't find any dalil for it, authoritativeness and correctness, we must withdraw what we said and we must apologize for it. And remember, it is not part, it is not a hadith Qudsi. So inshallah, again, I ask, make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the dua which he asked, Sayyidina Aisha asked, Ya Rasulullah, what should I say when I come across Laylatul Qadr? And remember, the nights of Laylatul Qadr is all the odd nights of the last 10 days. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may show us a sign or not show us a sign. But we should always have on our lips now till the end of Ramadan, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbu al-afwa fa'afu anni. Look how simple. We want to do so many things. Laylatul Qadr, we want to sit up the whole night. Become the most pious of persons until the next morning. Then we have a feast, whatever we have. There's nothing wrong in spending the night in the masjid for a little qadr, even at your home. Nothing wrong with that. But if that was the sunnah of the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would have told Aisha, Aisha, my wife, you woman, I love you, you know. I suggest what you do is night with the qadr, set up, don't go sleep, make tahajjud, read Quran, make zikrullah, cry to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, none of you. He said, make this dua. Allahumma innaka afoon. Oh Allah, you are the one who obliterate, who wipes out sins. Allahumma innaka afoon. You wipe out sins. Tuhibbul afwa. Oh Allah, you love to wipe out sins. Subhanallah. They knew that there's only one who can wipe out sins. That was the belief. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can wipe the slate clean. They knew that. They recognized that. They practiced that. Nobody else can do it. Allahumma innaka afoon tuhibbul afwa fa'afu anni. Oh Allah, wipe out my sins. Three things. Oh Allah, you are the one who wipes out sins. Oh Allah, you love to wipe out sins. That's why we love you and you are our Lord. And number three, wipe out my sins. That's all you have to say. Say it after every salah. Don't say it 100 times in one sitting. No. When you think about Allah, you say it. And you think about Allah whenever you think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, into the future. And you say it. And you say it over and over and over and over. But you say it with meaning. When you say it, Allahumma innaka afu, you know what you're saying. That's very important. You know what you're saying. Oh Allah, you love, you are the one who wipe out sins. You are the one who wipe out sins. You love to wipe out sins. Please wipe out my sins. Ameen. Thumma ameen. Thumma ameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.